This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is John Gizzi, political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. And John, it's great to talk to you as always.
It's always great to be here, Greg.
A major political story of the week, John, as we knew it would be because it's been known about for several days, and that was the president's speech on health care to a joint session of Congress. It's pretty rare that we see the president address a joint session outside of the State of the Union, so this obviously was worthy of additional attention. We'll get to the major controversy and the outburst that was involved in that speech in a moment. But overall, what was your grade on the speech?
Well, my grade on the speech is a C- at best. The president's delivery is always good. That's taken for granted. It's on content that he loses grade points. The president made repeated claims in the speech without documentation, notably the thing that provoked Congressman Joe Wilson of South Carolina to say, "You lie." He had said that it is false to say that H.R. 3200, his health care plan, would cover illegal immigrants. Well, the fact is that all of the Republican means of amending this to have verification and enforcement of keeping health care out of the hands of illegal were defeated in two House committees. Now, that's just a small example of it. The president may have gotten a boost, as any presidential address usually gives the incumbent. Health care will not see the light of day.
Do you still believe that? You predicted that last week. Joe Biden and some of the senators are saying Thanksgiving is now the target date. It was, of course, the end of July. Then it was the end of this month. Now they're pushing it back towards the end of November. So do you believe there will be no bill or just a very watered-down bill?
No bill. And again, I see this as a rerun of the whole debate over the Clinton health care plan in 1993. 16 years ago, as soon as people got the impression that there would be a greater public hand in health care, and the complexity of it was realized, public opinion turned against it, and it was dead on arrival in Capitol Hill. So it will be, with this plan, public option or not.
John, let's talk a little bit more about Congressman Wilson. He's a friend of yours. He's been
a great friend
of ours here at Radio America for many years. But obviously, he finds himself in the crosshairs of media and the Democratic Party right now. According to some reports, his likely Democratic challenger next year has raised over $700,000 just in the past 48 hours or so. At the same time, Congressman Wilson is in a relatively safe district. I don't think he's ever been seriously challenged. And, of course,
the
longtime great Congressman Floyd Spence held that seat at one time. Do you suspect that this will blow over by November of 2010, or does Wilson have a pretty significant fight on his hands?
Well, it is true that his opponent, Rob Miller, has raised all of this money, but as Congressman Wilson told me last night, the left-wing fundraising operation is better than that for Republicans. And sure enough, Mr. Wilson has raised $250,000 in the 24 hours since his outburst. Now, he has apologized for his behavior. He has not backed down on his claim that the president is misspeaking when he says his health care plan doesn't cover illegal immigrants. I might add that he is developing an almost rock star persona on the Internet. They're selling T-shirts that say, "I'm with Joe Wilson." He has a rally scheduled tonight in Columbia of supporters, and even people who aren't familiar with him are coming up to him yelling, "Hey, it's Joe the Congressman," just like Joe the Plumber.
Well, John, there was another new face on Capitol Hill. Joe Wilson, of course, has been there for several years, but really came to the forefront this week. Over in the U.S. Senate, there is a brand new face, a brand new senator from the state of Florida, because Mel Martinez decided to resign rather than complete his one term in the U.S. Senate. Charlie Crist, the governor of Florida, who's running for the open seat next year, appointed a former colleague of his, George Lemieux, to the seat. What do we know about him?
Well, George Lemieux is the alter ego of the governor and probably his closest political associate. Think a decade ago of then-Governor George W. Bush of Texas appointing Karl Rove to a vacant Senate seat, and you get the picture of Governor Crist appointing Mr. Lemieux. Now, it is true that Mr. Lemieux will not run for the seat. That is something Governor Crist is doing, and he faces a stiff primary from the more conservative former House Speaker, Marco Rubio. He might have short-circuited Rubio by appointing a well-known conservative. He did not, and instead appointed someone who not only reflects his views, but has been a champion of gay rights, gay adoption and represented Indian tribes in the case of trying to get government sanction of casino on their reservations. And this is a hot button to some. The Supreme Court ruled that the governor overacted by not dealing with the legislature and making a pact with one particular tribe. I'm going to tell you, the governor did not gain among Republican primary voters by picking Mr. Lemieux.
The Senate, of course, taking up health care legislation, but that's not the only issue. You learned this week that we kind of know what's coming after health care if the Democrats get their way.
A week ago, John Sweeney, the outgoing president of the FL-CIO, and the incoming president, Rich Trumka, spoke to the Christian Science Monitor breakfast. I thought EFCA was dead on arrival, but they said the president will vigorously get behind the Employee Free Choice Act when health care is achieved. I asked Robert Gibbs this at the beginning of the week, Tuesday as a matter of fact, and quoted both President Sweeney and Trumka. And he says, well, the president said this in a big Labor Day speech. I said, so is he committed to EFCA and getting it passed? So I'm not going to contradict him 24 hours later. The thing speaks for itself.
John, of course, we talk on this day 8 years after the most horrific day in American history. Of course, 9/11/2001, terrorists hijacking four airliners, two slam into the World Trade Center, which then crumble as a result of the impact and the burning. The Pentagon is hit. And then, of course, we know about the heroism of the passengers that brought the plane down in Pennsylvania before it came to the nation's capital. Some say that with 8 years, the wound has healed quite a bit. Others see it extremely fresh, especially since we're still at war. Your thoughts?
Well, President George W. Bush said at the time that the war on terror would not be completed during his tenure in the White House, and he's correct. The Obama administration has taken the fight to Pakistan and Afghanistan. I spoke this morning to U.N. Ambassador Susan Rice, and she mentioned that Afghanistan and the defeat of al-Qaeda will be very key in the coming months. And what happens in Afghanistan will also have to happen in Pakistan. In other words, the finishing off of al-Qaeda. 9/11 reminded us that no country is safe when someone is willing to give his or her life to harm it. Many brave Americans passed in that, including Barbara Olson, the wife of then Solicitor General Ted Olson, so many others who were in the World Trade Center on the plains in Pennsylvania. It reminded us we are vulnerable as a nation, but 8 years later, there's been no similar attack on U.S. soil. That may be the initial legacy of the war on terror, that Americans rose up and through policy, interrogation, and dealing with the enemy, we kept our country safe. And I would just say when they call and try to prosecute people who are alleged torturers, I say they were heroic because they got information that spared us other 9/11s. That's what I think of on this day.
John, unfortunately, our time is up. As always, sir, a great pleasure to be with you.
Always a great pleasure. Thank you, Greg.
John Gizzi is political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.